Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org. Or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Buckhead Church, we are back again with the latest edition of our podcast. Clay here. Thanks for listening. A reminder, this podcast is a resource to inspire people to follow Jesus at home and at work. And today I am joined with two of the most fantastic, thoughtful, sharp, intellectual, cross-fitting people on the planet, David and Jen McMillan. How are y'all today?
We're great.
We're great. To be clear, David is the cross-fitting one in the
film. Yeah, Jen, does he, how does that work? He's all over it. Is there ever any judgment? Like, why don't you?
I mean, I do exercise and work out, and I have gotten him to participate in my form of exercise one time, and his comment was, "I can see why you like it, but I'm going to stick with CrossFit."
That's cold. That's cold. I can see why you like it.
He's great. And I will say that through this season of COVID-19 and all of that, I have been out in our garage gym with him a whole lot more than I have been in the past. So it's become a shared thing more and more. But
there you go. That's a great segue into what we're going to talk about. Jen's role at Buckhead Church, Jen leads all of our family ministry. She is the director of family ministry. So you specifically lead Upstreet and right now Wombaland, but you also oversee middle school and high school. So if your kids enjoy church, it's mostly because of Jen McMillan and her fantastic leadership. David attended Buckhead Church for a couple of years.
Yeah, this is my 10 years ago, a decade ago is when I first started volunteering.
Wow.
Street.
With transit.
Yeah, I did Upstreet for 3 years and transit for 3 years.
I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, they are, David leads his own business and they're just, you guys do a great job of balancing a lot in life. You guys are full-time parents, full-time employees, you lead stuff and you just, honestly, you kind of make it look easy. But I think it's because you live such intentional lives. So the hope of the next few minutes is just to learn a little bit from the two of you and your story. I love the title that you gave this, What Not to Give Up When Life Opens Back Up, which is something we're all thinking about and hoping for, that life will eventually open back up again. But when it does, we got to make sure that the things that we need to let go of, we've let go of, and the things we need to hold on to, we've really held on to. So let's talk about that. But before we do, maybe give a, could you give your how y'all met story though? Because I don't know why, I just love it.
Yeah, that's really fun. I moved to Atlanta 15 years ago almost and was single and didn't know very many people and lived here for a handful of years. And then a mutual friend / acquaintance of ours set us up on a blind date. I mean, it's a short story.
And the first thing she heard about me was that I can eat an ice cream sandwich in one bite, because I started off as a sixth grade leader in transit and they got all the new leaders up and I'm competitive. And it was, how fast can you eat an ice cream sandwich on stage? And not one to want to lose. I just took one bite. And they actually stopped everything and made me eat a second ice cream sandwich in one bite because they couldn't believe I just
They were
that.
Stunned.
And we're not talking about the mini version of the ice cream sandwich.
This is the full size.
Full size one, yeah.
So that's what Jen heard about me first. Yeah. This guy named David, he can eat ice cream sandwich in one bite, and he volunteers in transit. So
naturally, I was in. I knew he wasn't afraid to make a fool of himself for the sake of middle schoolers, so I was hooked.
Well, you do... David, you have a remarkable balance of being this sharp professional business leader that runs your own company, but also willing to get on stage and eat an ice cream sandwich in one bite. It's a really great mix. Well, why don't we just start with that title? I love that title, What Not to Give Up When Life Opens Back Up. What made you think of this? How did you come up with that? Tell us a little more about the title.
Yeah, well, it feels like just at this point of time as things are beginning to open up. I feel like I'm having lots of conversations with people that, and the focus is really more on like what we have given up in the past few weeks, months. You know, it's like, hey, what's the first restaurant you're going to go to as soon as you can? And how desperate are you to go get your hair done or your nails or, you know, whatever? Because like there's things that just have changed about our routines. And so thinking about this season, you can look at it as, what have I given up, you know, for weeks and months that I, you know, I'm ready to get back.
Can't wait to get back. Yep.
Right. But I think we just kind of were thinking about it more as like, how can we flip the script on that a little bit to say, what have we learned? What have we gained during this season that we wouldn't have otherwise? And how do we hold on to that and continue to elevate the important things from that as we figure out what it looks like for our lives to open back up?
And I'm just curious, I mean, this is not even necessarily on topic, but do you feel stretched in this season? I mean, you are caring a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you got three kids under five. Is Maddie, she's six. So three kids under six, both run. I mean, Jen, you lead a team of total about 20 people that are under your supervision. David, your company has about 20 employees as well.
I mean,
it's tax season.
Yeah, man, work has not slowed down. So just, I mean, knowing that I will not be able to get everything done that is needed of me. But I think there are, you know, this idea of focusing on the important or even eternal things is something I don't want to give up even when life opens back up. So we kind of thought about three areas of life. Like, I'm a big proponent of, like, hey, it's not what happens to us, it's how we respond to it.
Yep.
And that, you know, we can be in control of a lot of things or choose to focus on what we can control over. And we love family time. And so for us and our family, you know, there have been three things that have really stood out for us about things that we really don't want to give up. And we're not sure how that's going to happen. And we're talking about that. But let's start with the first one.
Let's dig in. Give us the three things.
Yeah. So the first thing that we thought about is just margin. I mean, it's kind of comical. You know, I think we've been trying to do some intentional things to focus in on family and stuff like that. But as you talk about people's schedules, you know, it's like, well, I mean, would you like to Skype on Thursday night? And it's like, well, sure. What else are we going to do?
We don't have anything else going on.
Right? That, you know, Netflix list of shows that I'm trying to get.
Exactly.
To, you know, we're pretty flexible when it comes to our time in terms of social engagement. And certainly if you have kids, you know, the activities of your children and things like that, we just have greater margin. That's not to say that we're not having to really be wise about our usage of time, because as David was just saying, I feel like from a work perspective, we feel stretched as much or more than we ever have, you know, trying to get everything done. But at the same time, I think there's been so much freedom, especially in the evenings, to say, you know what, we're just going to stop and we're going to play in the yard with our kids and we're going to go for a walk and we're going to, you know, just do these things. But that's all, it's created this margin in our lives. And so I think as things begin to open back up, I feel like one of the conversations that David and I are having pretty often is, what are we going to add back in? Because we don't know that we're just going to rush back to fill our weeknights and weekends with as many activities as we had prior to this, you know?
Can I ask you a question about that, Jen? Because I was having a conversation last week with someone who said, we were having the same conversation about just, we love the way life has slowed down. Yeah. And this person said, oh, I think as soon as things open back up, everybody's just going to rush right back into the busyness because we're addicted to it. Do you think there really is a way for us to go back to a different kind of life?
I definitely think it's possible, but I think it's going to be an individual choice. You know, I think people are going to have to decide for themselves what it is that they value. And you know, some of the busyness and things, like, there's great value attached to some of those things that we were doing beforehand, you know, so it's not a criticism on how anyone chooses to spend their time. I think our hope is that we just wouldn't rush back without any forethought or, you know, taking the time to really evaluate, is that worthy of our time? You know, is that worthy of our margin to say, yes, we're going to jump back into that? And for some things, the answer will be yes. But I think for others, perhaps we have a different filter for what is most important now that might impact what we go back to.
Love that.
The second thing that I think has been interesting for us is the conversations we've had, like the real conversations with our family. And, you know, I think with, because we have more margin and there's less activities, you know, parents have become teachers. They've become small group leaders. They've become, you know, mediators, coaches, you know,
yoga instructors.
That the conversations that we've had with our kids, just processing, just dealing with life, I think are things that I don't think parents should give up. I don't think it's, you know, I'm very heavy. I'm a red, so I'm heavy on responsibility. Like I have learned, like this is not something I want to delegate to other people when life opens back up. I mean, even things like, I mean, with my kindergartner, I'm talking about, we've had psychology lessons, like learning about Viktor Frankl and the stimulus and the gap and our response of like, okay, I mean, here's a terrible story. Not terrible, funny story. I've made the scrambled eggs for my four-year-old daughter her entire life. Her sister makes scrambled eggs and she says she doesn't like them because they have salt in them. I have made eggs with salt and pepper for all 4 years of her life, which is just ridiculous. And so it, you know, upset my daughter and her feelings got hurt. And like, it was a great way to say, hey, Maddie, like, what's actually real and true? She likes eggs with salt and pepper. Your eggs were awesome. They're great. She's just being silly. But it gave us a chance to talk about, hey, there are things that are going to happen to us and there's a response we have. And sometimes it takes pausing and like, okay, what's real and true here? But
is the scramble egg story, is that when you introduced Viktor Frankl to your daughters?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
That was the natural moment.
Well, yeah, to your point, David, those were conversations that I don't know. It's hard to know. Were those not happening before because we were too busy, because we just had so much on our plate? But we can't deny the fact that there have been significant, real, meaningful conversations that have happened because of this new pace. And so I love that simple concept of, hey, when we get back, when things open back up, I want to hold on to this same way of conversing with the people that I love.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether it's, if you haven't done as a family, this is a great time to start it now. Like your kids are looking to you and like, I mean, we know we both volunteer in transit. We know there's an end date that we're not going to be the people that our kids are going to maybe look to first, but at least we can start a habit now of talking to our kids about, you know, life or heaven and faith and how to respond to things and how to deal with your sister. And I mean, just, you know, honestly, life things, like there have been some days where I'm like, I don't really care about the schoolwork as much, but we're doing really good life things here. Even if we just go play and let's figure out how to work things out that I think are things that I don't want to give up when things, you know, open back up. And then our final thing, I feel like a result of having time and having margin and talking about things that are important, is like we've just been able to do, to me, really fun, cool things that I don't think we have done or we've had a heart for, but it was not consistent. And I feel like life as a family has been extremely fulfilling over the last 2 months. Because we've been able to like take action and do things, you know, like
I was going to say, you two are pretty humble about this, but this is the part I was really hoping we would get to. I don't know what's on your list, David. I'll just tell you, here's some things that I would love for you to talk about. The dance, the father-daughter dance that was canceled that you ended up planning anyway, the food drive that you did on your street in your neighborhood. Was it the lemonade?
Yeah.
Thing that you did this past weekend. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those stories?
Yeah. Well, a lot of this, you know, Maddie and I have been reading Love Does by Bob Goff. And yep. He, you know, Bob's stories, you know, sometimes they can feel very
contrived, unrealistic.
Like, yeah. I don't know if this is something I do, but so we had cookies. Maddie came up with this idea of Cookies and Neighbors Day. So we made up flyers. We put them in everybody's mailbox.
I'm sorry, but she colored an invitation that you then photocopied and put in everyone's mailbox and invited them to Cookies and Neighbors.
Right.
Yep. And we had, I bet we had 20 people come out. And I mean, Maddie even got a letter from one of our neighbors who couldn't make it saying, hey, thanks for being so kind. And I've shared this with people all over the world.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of my cat. I hope to come to the next one you do.
The cat picture threw me off a little bit, but it was very sweet of the neighbor to send a follow-up letter to our daughter thanking her for the invitation. Yeah. So,
but just this idea of taking action and doing the things that we've talked about, you know, like God calls us to love others and to love each other well. And like, okay, what can we do? You know, there's a lot that we can't do, but what can we do? And yeah, can we take care of our neighbors or can we do a food drive for people in need, even though maybe we can't go all around our community, but can we go on our street and knock on doors? And, you know, they left food in boxes outside their doors that, hey, we'll be by at 11 a.m. on this day. Leave your food outside, and we raise like 140 pounds of food and
love it.
40 or 50 bucks. And, you know, I mean, we like routines and rhythms. And so we've created this new routine of doing fun things. Like all five of us made pasta, homemade pasta last night, which was the
bomb. We're making homemade pasta tomorrow night. We made the same decision. Oh, did you go with the two ingredient one, just the egg and flour?
We did.
Yep. A simple one.
And a little olive oil. But awesome. Like what a,
Can't wait.
It takes longer than you think it will.
Okay. Well, good news. We have the time.
Hey, exactly.
What about the father daughter? Was it a father daughter dance that you were supposed to go to that got canceled?
Yeah, it was so sweet, Clay, because it was scheduled to happen probably like 2 weeks after we kind of went into shelter in place. And our girls, this is something that I think David has done with them for the past like 3 years at least with our oldest, and they look forward to it. So prior to all this, we'd gone shopping, we'd picked out fancy dresses, they were ready to go. And so for that to be canceled was just pretty heartbreaking. So David decided we were just going to do it at home. So we got all dressed up one night, and the girls got to come downstairs and, you know, meet David and had a fancy dinner and then a little dance party in our living room. Fantastic. The girls loved it. Every minute.
Well, I love that story. There's a lot that we probably can let go of and we're going to be eager to get back. But I love that simple concept that there are some things that we need to hold on to even when life opens back up, like margin conversation and even those spontaneous actions or projects, fun little whimsical moments in life, I would say. Anything you want to say to summarize all of this as you're thinking about people that are really longing for life to open back up?
I just say, think about what you want life to look like on the other side of this. I mean, this is the best time. And I mean, this is a, I don't know, once in a lifetime type of thing that.
Let's hope so. Yeah, right.
You know, we ought to be intentional about where God's pulling on our heart and lean into that, because we do have these things now. And my mentor gave me this line. He said, unmanaged time flows to our weaknesses. And if we rush back into life, it's all going to go to those things that just, you know, it may be fun or have a momentary pleasure, but aren't going to be eternal, important, lasting things. And so I think it's just a great time to, as a family and husband and wife, or you know, whatever your home situation looks like, to ask that question, like, hey, what do we want to hold on to? And I think it's fighting for that too. I mean, we're going to be pulled, but I do think families will need to fight to hold on to these things, because it'll get pulled all that time. It'll get sucked if we're not intentional about it.
Unmanaged time flows to our weakness. What a great one. Jen, David, thank you so much. Thanks for lending your stories and your voice and your influence to Buckhead Church. And look forward to being able to share some homemade pasta with you at some point.
That sounds great. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.